Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace belong to you and to me from God the Father through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, do you have a personal mission statement? Do you have a firm grasp of who you are in this life and why it is that you walk the planet? Recently, I had a chance to meet with a fellow member, Emily Krill, and she helped put me into words, a personal mission statement. And this is what we came up with. Through faith in God, I am built to be His light, challenging people in their believing, thinking, and living that together we might know true freedom in Christ. I got to memorize that better. Where did that mission statement come from? Well, for many years, I have had a personal identity passage. Galatians 2, verse 20, the words of the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. To be like Jesus in the walking of this planet is what we are all called to be. That's exciting, but it's also difficult. Think for a moment, ask yourself the question, who is the most Christ-like person you have ever known? Now, how many of us recognize the face coming up on the screen next? Pastor Bill Bernhardt. This is a very insider thing, so if you're kind of new to the bridge, bear with us. Who knows the guy on the screen? Raise your hand. Okay, Pastor Bill Bernhardt for a long time was the face of the Wisconsin Synod and was in what we call the Wells Connection videos. A friend of mine, he is now in heaven, and that's a good thing on so many levels, but he would not like the fact that we have his picture on the screen in this way today. Bill Bernhardt was a very humble man who never sought out the spotlight. In fact, a friend once said this. He said, Bill Bernhardt may be the most like Jesus of any man I have ever known. Gentle, loving, soft-spoken, yet not afraid to stand up and speak for Jesus. Who is the most Christ-like person you have ever met that you know? And how Christ-like are we in our living? Our thinking, our speaking, our texting, our Googling, our relationships, how Christ-like are we? Well, today, of all people, Jesus gets to set the standard for Christ-like living as He takes us along to heal a man with leprosy, to inspire us to love as He has loved, and to inspire us to make our own Paul's statement, Christ in me changes how I love. Let's hear the words of our text, Luke 5, 12 through 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged Him, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. I am willing, He said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, what would ever cause you to turn away from someone who was in need of your compassion? Does a wheelchair or a prosthetic limb ever cause you to pause, a hesitancy to come closer? If the hospital room door says quarantined, gown and mask only, would you think twice about visiting your friend? Could you help raise money for AIDS research and actually talk to people who are HIV positive? Could you recognize the needle tracks in the arm and still talk to the person? Does ethnic background ever give you pause? Or a person's political party preference emblazoned on the bumper of their car? Or maybe the food stamps in their hand, or the gold platinum credit card with diamond jewelry on their hand and in their hand? You know, the disciples once tried to keep people out of Jesus' space, people that they felt were too small for the attention of Jesus, and they were the children and the babies. And ooh, did they get an earful from the Savior. But do we ever somehow turn away from those people who don't seem significant enough for me to give them my attention? You know, this man fallen at Jesus' feet, begging, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He did not just have a small case of skin disease. The Greek tells us that he was fully leprous. He was covered with leprosy. And under the Old Testament Mosaic law, which was put in place by God in this case in a very real way for the health of community, this man had no business being at Jesus' feet. In fact, he was the one who was supposed to be putting up the barriers. Listen to the words of Leviticus 13. "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone outside the camp." But here was this man, and he was covered. With love from outside of this world that knows no discrimination and no fear of human barriers, Jesus reached out and touched the man. He did what no one else would have even thought about doing. With mercy that is cutting edge, with a mission-minded purpose, he reached out and touched him and said, "I am willing, be clean." Would you ever put a sign like this one in your yard? Maybe you have one. First responder sign, "Thank you for your service." Many of these signs went up as a political response in our culture, but I've got to believe that everyone who puts them up has a sincere appreciation for all of those people who every day put themselves out there for us to protect us. First responders are people who are wired and minded every day to reach out across the barriers of this life that scare most of us, like the end of a gun barrel, or domestic disputes, or flames engulfing an apartment building, or the dying and the dead. They put their own lives and health at risk for you and me every day. So 911 sets in a flurry of activity. The sirens wail, the lights are flashing, and they come by me on the road, and I tend to offer a prayer. Lord God in heaven, keep them safe wherever they are going and help them in safety to reach out across the barriers that I cannot, that I could not, and maybe in weakness where I would not. And since doing this text study, I'd have to add a prayer. Lord, remind me that you live in me, that I am built for you. Make me brave like Jesus, always ready to reach out across the barriers and give people love and mercy wherever they are at in life. God, may Christ truly be in me that it may change how I love. This past Thursday, I sat at Starbucks with a brother in Christ who has recently visited the Bridge. And we were sitting there in Starbucks and we were swapping stories of life lived with Jesus. And I got his permission to share part of his story. As he struggled to love exactly as Christ had loved him, with mercy outside of this world. You see, when his wife was 50 years old, the first symptoms of the dementia that would take her away from him slowly, even while she lived, came into their marriage and into their life. For 16 years, he served his wife before God called her safely home to heaven. And he shared the honest stories of his struggle to love her the way Christ had loved him. He said it like this: early on, there was a part of me that wanted to turn away, even from God, and to run from the burden he had placed upon us. But God strengthened me and caused me to turn into my God for the vision and the strength and the love to turn to my wife and to serve her with mercy. 7 years at home, 9 years with the help of a care facility. Christ living in him gave him the capacity to love with Christ-like mercy outside of this world. And he is still finding peace every day in the blood of his Jesus for those moments when he failed to love her as Jesus would have him love. This brother in Christ understood God's mercy, so practically defined for us in the book of Proverbs by King Solomon. Solomon wrote, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act." My friends, reaching out as first responders is who we are called to be and made to be in Christ. But even more amazing than God making us ready in Christ to have no fear with physical and human barriers is God's gift to us of faith that drops all the spiritual barriers. It helps us to live through the spiritual barriers in our relationships, most importantly with Him. This man cried out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, what can we know about this man from what he said? And from his situation in life? Well, for starters, this man was desperate. He had nowhere else to turn. Imagine life lived on the edge, outside of your own people. Imagine life lived where the expectation and the responsibility for putting up the barriers was yours. "I am unclean, do not come near." And imagine if there was no hope for you in this world until one day a man who seemed to be from outside of this world came walking into your village. Rumor had it that this Jesus from Nazareth could be the Messiah, the Savior who was to come. Rumor had it that this man would call people out for their sins and with love, even as he freed them from their diseases. And rumor had it that this man's heart was big enough to love all people with mercy, eating with the worst of sinners, even as he shared with them the way of God. So in desperation and in faith, our man covered with leprosy broke through the barriers that God had allowed into his life, and he fell at the feet of the only one who could make a difference. And he cried out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." What a faith this man had. But faith is only as good as its object, right? This man had faith in the very Son of God. Physically isolated from his people was his reality. But isolated from his God, never, he knew spiritually. And so in faith, he fell at the feet of the Almighty, aware of his sin that had us cast out of the garden, but more aware of his God, who in that garden had promised to send a Savior from sin, born of woman. And so the man, with great faith, prayed across the spiritual barrier to the only one who could make a difference, because he had come to make things new. I wondered to myself if the words of Jeremiah 31 were just ringing in his ears and in his memory. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. I will be their God, and they will know me. They'll know my heart. For I will forgive their wickedness, remembering their sins no more." Jesus had come to make a difference, to tear down the spiritual barrier between God and men, his life for our sin, to do something that only God could do. And this man, in faith, was bold enough to ask Jesus for a personal favor, to do something else that only God could do, to tear down a physical barrier. "Lord, you can make me clean." Now I wonder, the way my brain works, do you think that this man was in the crowd around the cross on the day the barrier breaker cried out for all the world to hear, "It is finished," and the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, indicating to God's people that the way to God was now open? My guess is, I wouldn't be surprised if the man was there in that crowd because he had his priorities straight. Did you catch how he prayed? He said, "Lord, if you are willing." He seemed to know that the key gift from his Messiah was the Savior from sin and life eternal. And so in faith he prayed, "Lord, if it's your will that you say no, I am not willing that you be clean. Go away, still unclean, but trust me, and I will bless you." The man would have walked away. Desperate faith, but confident faith, trusting his Jesus, no fear. You know, that man had the faith to turn to Jesus because his faith told him that Jesus already had the love to turn toward us. In what's become another favorite passage for me, and I think probably near and dear to a lot of our hearts, is Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God reached first across the barrier to us, so that the Apostle John could write later in his epistle, "We love him because God first loved us." God reached across to us in love, and now we, with confident faith, can reach back across to God and ask him to bless us for Jesus' sake. So how are we doing with that spiritual barrier of sin between us and God? Well, my hope and prayer is that you are rock solid in your faith that Jesus died for the sins of the world, including you, and that the way to God is open to you, and that heaven is yours, so that if today you die, you are in heaven. Not maybe, not I hope so, but today if you die, you are in heaven, because Jesus shed his blood to remove the barrier And in fact, there is no barrier. He now lives in us. He now lives in us. So how are we doing with the other relationships in our lives, the spiritual barriers between us and other people? How good am I, how good are you at reaching across any barrier while taking Jesus along with us? During the month of February, our sermon series will help us in a very practical way focus on this, but for today, let's ponder this example. Obviously, it is a kingdom hall of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you know anyone who belongs to this faith, this religion, the Jehovah's Witnesses? Maybe you have a friend or a coworker or even a family member. People who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is the only way to God through faith in Him. Have you ever had members of the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door? And if they do, how do you respond? How big does that spiritual barrier seem to be? Does it even make you afraid? Every other service, I did ask for a confession, but wow, have you ever pretended you weren't at home? Have you ever seen him coming down the street and you pull the blinds quick? Is the spiritual barrier too big for Jesus? What would Jesus have you do? Well, you know that Jesus would have reached across the barrier. Because Jesus knew his purpose, why he walked the earth. Jesus had his identity in his Father in heaven who sent his Son to love. And Jesus always had a vision for every situation. So I am sure that Jesus would come out of the house to meet them with a smile and shake their hand and say, "Hey, let me tell you about this amazing freedom the world has in me." No half to hoping to be saved, but opportunities to love people because I am saved. And when you and I go out there on our own and we can't see him, Jesus that is, he might just whisper into our ear and say, "Hey, Nate, just tell him who you are." Oh yeah, Galatians 2 verse 20. "Hey, let me tell you, I have been crucified in Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Just sharing that passage has all the truths you need. Don't get sidetracked. Stay on the passage. And share with them the only Savior the world will ever know. And God in love may just break down that barrier between them and him and us and them through the very blood of Jesus that saved you and me. Christ in us. It changes how we love. That's because Jesus is the most Christ-like man I've ever known. Amen. Let us pray. Great God and Lord, we come before you today, people recognizing that by who we are, by our natures, we are lepers, untouchables with you, our Savior God. But we thank you that from before the creation of the world, you reached out with a plan, a vision, a purpose in this life for your Son. To reach out across the barrier that separates us from you, our sin. That his blood might wash it away and pave the way to life eternal. And so today we sit before you as your men and women and your children. We have heaven now. We are part of the family. There is no living on the fringe. There is no living on the edge. Only the cutting edge of faith in you and the cutting edge of having mercy and love for people around us, no matter who they are. Give us the strength of faith and the confidence in Jesus our Savior to share with them who we are because of what you have been for us. Thank you for reaching out from eternity across the great divide of our sin to bringing us close to you because of Jesus and in Jesus. And thank you for the fact that you now reside in our hearts through faith. May we take our Jesus to his world. May we find our purpose, our identity, our vision in him. Help us be difference makers, Lord, by loving as you have loved. No matter the challenge you bring into our life, no matter how long it may be, help us to be your men, your women, your children. Different because Jesus lives in us. Oh, and Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless Mrs. Sarah Tan, a sister in Christ who has accepted the call of St. Paul's congregation to serve as our extended learning coordinator for this coming school year. We ask you to bless her as she transitions into this new position in the fall. Give to her great joy and satisfaction at being your minister, called to serve your children, our children. And help us support her and all the ministries of this congregation to the glory of your name and the sharing of your love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And as always, together, God's people say, amen.